Let's just begin right here in verse number nine, dealing with the shepherds. It says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Back up to verse number five. And the Word of God says, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn."
Listen, if I'd known then what I know now, there would have been room in my inn. Oy vey, I would have given up my own bed. But I didn't know. How could I know, right? Now, Bethlehem was so full of people. I mean, the government, they made everybody in the world go back to the hometown and register. You know, government has to have the money. And since nobody wants to stay with the in-laws, I'm full. I remember that day. We were full before dinner time. And now it's 2-3 hours after dinner when they show up. Talk about desperate. He was exhausted and scared. And she was about to burst. And as they're approaching my place, I'm thinking in my head, I know what I'll say to them. I'll say, "I'm sorry, we don't have room." But by the time they get there, they just stand for a minute, gather their thoughts. He looks down, he's thinking. I notice she winces ever so slightly in pain. And he looks at me, and he says, "Please." That's all he said. "Please. Let me tell you a story. I'm 5 years old, right? I'm helping my mother set the table. I noticed that she has one too many plates. So I say to her, 'Ma, you got one too many plates.' You know, and she says back to me, 'You never know who may show up.'" I look at her like, "What?" She walks over to me. She says, "You never know who God may bring your way. You always make room." So, I look back at the couple, and I say to them, "I don't know where we'll put you, but we'll make room for you." And we did. It wasn't the nicest room, but it's all I had to give them. Mom was right. You always make room.
He came down for us. Verse number 1 of Luke chapter 2. "And it came to pass in those days that Caesar Augustus, when he sent out a decree, he sent it out that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city." Christmas means different things to different people. It really does this year. Because of many things that have recently happened in our economy for the store owners, the restaurant owners, maybe it's a time to make some sales. Maybe a time to begin to recoup some of the losses. I was thinking about how Christmas means different things to different people. To the ACLU, it means a time to look for and to fight against those evil manger scenes. We don't want those things in our communities. The lost man, it may be a time to enjoy the lights and endure this Jesus stuff for a little bit. But for the Christian, it's a time to celebrate the birth of our Savior. I like Christmas songs. I get tired of them after a little bit, but I like Christmas songs. But you know, some of the songs that we sing at Christmas weren't necessarily made for Christmas. Joy to the World is one of those. Isaac Watts actually wrote that about the second coming, not the first coming. Yet it's very applicable for the birth of Christ also. We think about Christmas. Christmas, I guess, if you were to put it into one sentence, it would go something like this. The beginning of the earthly ministry of God's Son. The beginning of the earthly ministry of God's Son. He came down for us. He came down to a people that would reject Him and eventually crucify Him. The Bible says He was in the world and the world knew Him not. I'm sorry, He was in the world and the world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. But the fact is this, without the birth of Christ, without the manger, the stable, the inn, without that there would be no crucifixion later on. There would be no salvation. It was all part of God's plan. And every time I read through the passages of Scripture dealing with Christmas, there's a thought that comes roaring into my mind, in my heart. He did this for me. Because there's a universal truth. And the universal truth that has to be spoken at Christmas is this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For God came down for us. Because we could not go up to Him. He created a bridge. He created a path. I read in the book of Philippians a verse that I have thought about for years. A verse that I've thought if I were to have a life verse, it would be this one. Not because it demonstrates who I am, but it demonstrates what I want to be. And Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. May we have the mind of Christ. But then that passage goes on and says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came down to us. He came down for us. I have an outline, but I don't know if it makes sense. But I'm going to use it anyway. He came down for us. He came down at a prepared time. Christ's arrival on this earth, you read or you saw in verse 1 and 2, Caesar Augustus is the ruler of the world. The Roman Empire is in charge of the world. There's really no wars going on. Everybody's oppressed by Rome. There's very little joy and happiness. And yet it comes because God moved on an unsaved man's heart to have everyone go back to their hometown to pay their taxes. God literally moved hundreds of thousands of people around so that Mary and Joseph could be in Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus. At Christmas, perhaps like no other time, we're reminded that no matter what is going on in the world around us, no matter what burdens we carry, God still has a plan. God's still working. And one of the things I said a moment ago was, there's always joy in the presence of Jesus. The book of Psalms says this, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The shepherds shouted for joy. The angels rejoiced with joy. The wise men, when they saw the star, had joy exceedingly. joy whenever we get close to Christ. Christ came into this world at a time that was prepared exactly for Him. God makes no mistakes. Whatever's going on in your life today is not a mistake. God's still ruling. Even though an unsaved man was ruling the world, you mark this down, God was still in charge. And all God's people said, no matter what's going on in your life, you say, well, preacher, health decisions and my health, God's still in charge. Those events may have been affecting you, but God still has a plan. He came at a prepared time because the Scriptures laid it out just like this. Way back in the Garden of Eden, whenever Adam and Eve sinned against God, God said, you know what? I've already got a plan for this. And at a time in history, whenever everything is right, my Son is going to come and He's going to destroy the devil's work. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the devil is no longer the victor. I'm glad today that I do not have to serve underneath the devil. Jesus came as a baby boy, but the truth of the matter is this. He was, is, and always will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The book of Genesis says this, talking about this future Messiah. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. The scepter is that rod that the king carries. And then I read over in the book of the Revelation where it says this, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our world may not recognize that today, but it's still true. And one day he's coming again. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. You say, what does that mean? Caesar Augustus, after a sleepless night, I don't know how he counseled or received counsel. I don't know how all this plan was put into motion other than this. The government was upon God's shoulder, and he moved Caesar Augustus so that that young couple will be right where they needed to be. We're watching world events today as they spiral out of control in so many different ways. We're watching as we're finding that we have spies among our governments and all of the things that are happening in our world today. We're watching as shutdowns are talked about again as our economy is crashing and they're talking about giving away trillions of dollars again. May I say this? Somebody's got to pay all that back one day. But I realize this. God's still in charge. I serve a risen Savior no matter what. The Bible tells me that He came at a perfect time because of His power. God is still powerful. In the beginning, God created. That demonstrates His power. The book of Galatians says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. You know what He's saying? Exactly when He wanted it to happen. You say, preacher, I've been praying for God to work in my life, for God to deliver me, to do this. Don't worry, my friends, the fullness of time will come. God will work whenever He wants it to happen. God must create a way to move Joseph and Mary from the city of Nazareth, where they have just put down their roots, to the town of Bethlehem. And the reason why is because the Bible spoke 700 years before exactly where Jesus will be born. The Bible says in Micah, just a little short book, it talks about Bethlehem being that city, that town, that village where Jesus will be born at. I read the birth of Christ. I read about the birth of Christ, and here's what I know. God is in charge of the events of my life and your life. May I say this today? He came down for you and I. He came down for us. I remember reading this years ago, and I was thinking about this. Whenever we had Reformers Unanimous, we had one of the men that were getting ready to go before a judge, and really, literally, everything was stacked against him. It looked like he was going to serve quite a lengthy prison sentence, and it was his third or fourth offense, and it was a major deal, but he had been letting God change his life. And I remember going into that courtroom and sitting there in that court, and as I gave testimony to what God was doing in this man's life, the judge asked me, he said, Pastor, can you guarantee that this man will never do this again? And I said, sir, nobody can do this. I said, but I know this. God has been changing his life right before my eyes. And all I ask for is that you give him a little bit more of a chance. And the verse came to my mind that day that I watched literally as God worked. And the verse was found in Proverbs 21:1, and it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And I remember thinking, the judge's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And the Bible says, as the river of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. May I say this today? God controls all the events in our lives. God allows them. God's there with us through those. He came at a prepared time. But look at it in verse 4 and 5. Verse 4, it says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. By the way, if you put notes in your Bible or you make notes, you ought to read later on the genealogies that are found in Luke chapter 3 and Matthew chapter number 1. Those will really help you get to sleep. I'm joking, but it goes through. And it runs down the list. And in one of those genealogies, you have the genealogy of Joseph all the way back to King David. And in the other one, you have the genealogy of Mary all the way back to King David. You know what that means? They were prepared by God. Now, were they prepared for what was going to happen? Absolutely not. But God had prepared them for the circumstances they were about to face. May I remind you today that whatever you're facing today, God has prepared you for this time. And I see in these verses, here's what happens. Joseph obeyed. Joseph just simply obeyed. He could have run away. He had a lot of choices. He found out that his bride-to-be was with child, and it wasn't his, and she's telling him that it just happened. God did it. I don't know about you, but if any man had a reason to walk away shaking his head saying, she's crazy, it would have been him. But you know what Joseph did? He obeyed. You know what else I see about it? He obeyed when it didn't make sense. He didn't understand. There's no way. Listen as I read, as Joseph is going through this issue. Matthew 1, he says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his Mary, his mother, was espoused to Joseph, that means they were engaged, before they came together, no physical contact, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately. He thought, I don't want to embarrass her. I don't want to shame her. And then the Bible says something tremendous. But while he thought on these things, how many of you have ever made a bad, dumb, stupid decision because you didn't think about it? Amen? By the way, this is one of those. But while he thought on those things. I got an idea this is all he thought about, by the way. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I remember hearing a lady say one time, only a man could go to sleep at a time like this. In a dream, saying, notice what the angel says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Okay, great. I don't get it. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. You know what he did? He obeyed. Oh, Christian friend of mine, we miss some of the greatest blessings of God because we simply don't obey. You say, preacher, I don't understand. You and I are not called to understand. We're called to obey. He believed. Not only did Joseph obey, but notice this. to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Can I say something? It wasn't necessary that she went. She didn't have to go. Joseph was the head of the family, and legally, he was the only one that needed to go. But I see something here. Not only did Joseph obey, but Mary yielded and submitted. Here's what Mary says through all of this conversation with the angel of the Lord. The Bible says, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Write this down somewhere. I read this, all right? This is not Hobsonology. I read this, all right? You ready? Faith in God's promises release God's power. You ready? Faith in God's promises release God's power. We see this happening right here. As this young couple have faith in the promises of God, and we watch as God's power is released. This was not a planned pregnancy on Mary's part. Yet she was sensitive to God's will. Here's another thought. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that is wholly yielded to Him. God is more than able, more than capable. He's ready to assume full responsibility of the life that is wholly yielded to Him. One of the writers that I read after this last week said this: when Christ came into the world, we crucified Him. But whenever He comes into our hearts, He crucifies us. I guess the question I have to ask today is this: are you, am I, a prepared person for Him today? He came down to us. He came down to a prepared people. He came down at a prepared time. And if I'm not prepared, what must I surrender? What must I do to be wholly prepared? Yielded to God. Joseph obeyed. Mary obeyed and yielded and submitted. I'm going to tell you something. This made no sense to this couple. It wasn't like they had an aha moment. Oh, great! I'm so glad that I'm carrying the Messiah. It didn't make sense. But they obeyed. He came at a prepared time. He came for and with a prepared people. And notice verse number 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He came for people that have a prepared heart. It was obvious, and we saw from the video, that the innkeeper was not prepared. He was not set up. There was no room in the inn. You know, there are still people today that have no room for Jesus. I love the illustration. I read this years ago. I've given it almost every Christmas, and I'm going to give it again today because I absolutely love this. Wally, the little 10-year-old boy, was to be the innkeeper during a school program. That tells you how old this illustration is. Joseph and Mary came to the inn seeking lodging, and Wally said, "You have to go somewhere else. The inn is full." Mary said, "Sir, we've traveled very far and we're very weary. Can you help us?" Wally looked down on Mary with pity. As the adult prompter helped him and said, "Go away. There's no room in the inn." And Wally looked at her and said, "You've got to go away. There's no room in the inn." Joseph looked at Wally and said, "Please, sir." A little Wally stood there. And the prompter said, "Go away. There's no room in the inn." And Wally said, "You've got to go away. There's no room in the inn." And as young Mary and Joseph turned to walk away, little 10-year-old Wally stood there. And he said, "Don't go. Come back. You can have my room." Jesus wants us to come to Him because He came for us. For the intellectual man, there's no room. The Bible says the foolishness of preaching to them. To the religious man, there's no room. In the parable that Jesus gave, the Pharisee stood there and prayed thus with himself, the Bible says. For the material man, there's no room. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I see in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is available to all because He was in a stable. The Creator of the universe became poor in order to reach those that are needy. I see not only that He's available, but I see that He's approachable. There He is in a manger. No guards to guard the king. The shepherds just walk right in. 2 years later, the wise men just walk right in. Can I say this today? He's still available. He's still approachable. The Bible says, "Therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace." May we approach Him. May we come to Him. To the weary, He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." To the thirsty, He says, "Come unto Me and drink." To the hungry, He says, "Come ye, buy and eat without money." To the worried, He says, "Come, let us reason together." The word "come" means to advance or approach from any direction. It doesn't matter what direction you're coming from. You simply come. Jesus came down to us so that we could come to Him. And all God's people said, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed today.